This morning I want to look at a section of scripture out of Mark chapter 6. And I've entitled it A Time to Rest. And really in a question form rather than a statement. I think sometimes we like the idea of rest. I like the idea of rest. But we forget why we're resting. Rest is a gift given by God. It's something that He expects us to do, that He calls us to do. He says, God says that after creating everything, that on the seventh day God rested from all the work that He had been doing. He sets the example. And so I'm not here to tell you that rest is a bad thing. In fact, rest is a very good thing. But it's like everything else in life. It's a matter of keeping in mind what God would have us to do in the midst of that rest. Mark chapter 6, we're going to be looking and dividing this up a bit, but verses 30 through 44, the primary context of this passage is the feeding of the 5,000. As Jesus takes a boy's lunch and feeds this incredible crowd with plenty of leftovers. But I want us to look at and catch the backstory, the context in which this took place. Just prior to this passage that we're going to read, the disciples had been sent out. They had been able to do miraculous things in the name of Jesus. They were all excited about everything that had been happening. And sometime in the midst of this, there's this almost parentheses in the text where it talks about the beheading of John the Baptist and how that came about, and the fact that Herod was not very happy that the disciples were going around doing greater things than John the Baptist had even done. But in the midst of this, verse 30, it says, "The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to Him all they had done and taught. And then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, He said to them, 'Come with Me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.' And so they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place." As we consider this question of a time to rest, I think one of the first things that we ought to consider is, when is it a time to retreat? So often we use that word in multiple ways, and we think about it in terms of battle, and we think of retreat being a bad thing because it's almost like we're giving up. But when we think about it in terms of refreshing, to go on a spiritual retreat, to step back and spend time with God, we discover that this time to retreat can be a huge blessing in our life. We read in Scripture that Jesus, it says, would often go to lonely or deserted or solitary places to spend time with His Father. And usually those passages are just a single verse that state that's what He did. And so much of the New Testament, and specifically the Gospels, are on the actions of Jesus. We kind of lose sight of the fact that there were times when He needed times of rest, when He needed times to retreat from the busyness of life, from the pressures of life, from all of the crowds that were pressing against Him. And that's where this text that we're looking at today begins. The crowds have been pressing in. They've been wanting so much from Jesus. And He tells His disciples, we need to get away from it for a moment. As I spent time in Bowling Green, and there were times that I just needed to step back and say, God, I just need to sit with You a moment. The needs were still there, and the same was true in the text. The needs never disappeared. And sometimes, at least I get to the point in my mind that I think there's some sort of weakness if I just don't keep going at it. And then I look at Jesus. And there's no definition in my mind that I would refer to Jesus as weak. But he recognized this need to retreat, to step back and spend time with his Father. And some of the times that we do that, we think it's for us, and the rest is necessary for us. But so often the actual retreating, the actual refreshing, the actual rest that we get is not simply for us, but it's to prepare us for what's to come. There were times where we would set aside a day of rest, and we always, as I volunteered with IDE, Sunday has kind of been set aside. We don't go out. We don't look for work. We just kind of spend time worshiping God and resting and getting ready for the next week. That's the plan. But we've also learned not to limit God. And there are times where in the middle of that rest that a need arises that, well, it would be kind of foolish and maybe even rude to say, sorry, come back tomorrow. And so these times of retreating says that we have to listen for God. You're going to... I heard him buzzing around. But,
yeah.
That's right. But I didn't realize he had landed. But when we recognize those times of refreshing that we receive when we retreat into God's presence, we begin to listen for what's next. Out of this time, as Jesus and the disciples had gone to a solitary place, they did not stay alone very long. Picking up in verse 33, it says, "But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all of the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he began teaching them many things." The second part about recognizing this time to rest is not only do we recognize a time to retreat, but we recognize a time to encourage. Even in the midst of our rest, even in the midst of our pulling back and spending time with God, when he brings a person into our life, often it's either for their encouragement or for ours, or many times for both. That mutual encouragement that we receive from one another. But in this case, as the disciples have chosen at the request of Jesus to go with him to a solitary place to rest, the crowds followed. And instead of jumping to another place and escaping the crowds, Jesus realized that it was a time to encourage, that they were seeking after him. And whether their motives were pure or not, that's kind of up for discussion. It seems like eventually that Jesus would kind of make it clear that some of them were following simply because they wanted food. They wanted help. They wanted healing. They really didn't want him. They wanted what he could offer. But even knowing that, he continues to teach. He continues to encourage. He continues to share of himself. As I spent time helping people, and so many of them had great needs. And sometimes they weren't even sure what those needs were. I think sometimes when we go through the midst of disaster and chaos in our life, whatever that looks like, when our neighbors go through the midst of the chaos of life, kind of the shell shock of it all blinds us to what we really need. And many times when we would, I would knock on a door and ask, is there something that you need? Is there something that we can help you with? The most common response, the immediate response was, no, we've got it taken care of. And my mind wants to say, and it doesn't because I need to be more tactful than my mind likes to be. My mind wants to say, but you do realize there's a tree on your house. You do realize there's a hole in your roof, and we could tarp that for you. You do realize this or that, but I don't say that. Instead, my response is generally, okay. Were you home when the tornado went through? And most of them were. Can you tell me your story? Can you tell me what you experienced? And that's when it begins to unfold. They want to tell their story, most of them. So they'll tell their story and they'll have these experiences that take place. And my role there is to encourage, to help them realize they're not alone, that there are those that care. And as Jesus met with his disciples, as he planned to retreat, as the crowds followed and he listened to them, he taught and he encouraged them. And generally after I would hear their stories and ask if we could pray together and if I could pray for them, and I would say, you sure there's nothing that you need? And 90% of the time, by then, there was. Had one case that, for me, was a tough one because all of it really was. But she looks at me and kind of embarrassed. Says, well, I've been trying to clean the refrigerator out, and I just can't do it. And mind you, this was in day 6, and they've been without electricity that entire time. And I kind of have a weak stomach anyhow, so I understood why she couldn't do it. But hers was compounded even more than just a weak stomach. It was that sense of loss. The refrigerator was packed full. The tornado came through late on a Friday night. My guess is they had gotten groceries on Friday and everything was fresh 6 days earlier. And for her to go and clean that out, throwing it all away, was just more than she could handle. And so I helped her by doing that. And then afterwards, it kind of just kept opening up. Well, I could use help with this. There's furniture in the back room that still has a roof over it and stayed dry. I could use help protecting that and saving that. The front room, the roof is gone and it's just saturated and that all needs taken out to the curb. And I could use help with that. And sometimes we like to think, or I like to think, that encouraging people is about the words that I use. And many times it is. But probably just as many times, maybe even more, it's about the actions that we take. To be willing to be with them. And that's the third part of a time to rest. We learned that there's times that we need to retreat. There's times that out of our refreshing, we need to encourage others. But there's times that we must serve. Picking up in Mark chapter 6, verse 35. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But Jesus answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we supposed to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? Well, how many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all of the people sit down in groups on the green grass, and so they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. As Jesus was spending time encouraging the people by teaching them, by being with them, a new need arose. A need for food. A need for the basics of life. They had been there the entire day and they were enthralled with the teachings of Jesus. They were listening. And early on, it's really how this began. When the crowds found out where Jesus and the disciples was, we read that in one of the early verses, that Jesus had compassion on them. And even in the midst of the encouragement, the compassion continued, and it says he did not want to send them home hungry. And so he says it's time to serve. I think many times we are like the disciples. At least I am. How can I do that? I don't have what it takes. I'm very analytical. I like figuring out details. And so I would have done the same thing that his disciples did. They did the math. Jesus, do you realize how many people are here? How are we going to find that much food? We're in the middle of nowhere. That would have been my response too. I can't fault the disciples for that one. Yeah, just breathe. Actually, I thought your story, you were going to tell me you heard the songs of a siren behind you, but the just breathe was a little better, I guess. But many times I've discovered that the serving I do best is when I just do it, even when I'm unprepared. When I got to Bowling Green, I thought I was going to be cutting up trees off of homes and doing all of this physical labor. And got in late one night. The next morning, the volunteer assistant coordinator that works with IDES and helps make sure we're all doing what we ought to be doing said, I need to go home. My heart rate has been erratic for 36 hours now, and he says, that's just not good. And I said, no, that isn't. He's had some heart issues and had just started new medications, and so, you know, being 6 hours away from home probably wasn't the best thing for him to figure that out. So he was heading home, and so the IDES staff member hands me the IDES truck keys and says, congratulations, you're second in command now. Well, I just came here to work. I didn't. And he said, I need you to go out and talk to people and find out what we can do to help. Now, I don't know why God uses me to preach. I don't know why he uses me in some of the settings that he does, but I thought, you want me to go knock on doors of strangers? Yeah, exactly. I'm more comfortable running a chainsaw. But I discovered such a joy in just being able to listen to people's stories and to serve them, not according to my strength, not according to my wisdom or my ability, but in the power of the God Spirit that lives within me. And so when it comes to this time to rest, we have this time that we retreat into God's presence, but the purpose of that is to prepare us to encourage others, to prepare us to serve in ways that we may be uncomfortable with, because it's in those times that God himself becomes visible to others. There's so many times that I find myself talking with individuals, and they just had a hard time understanding why someone would come help. And it's because God's love for me creates within me a love for others. And when we recognize that that's what's happening here, it was a time to serve, and Jesus calls the disciples to feed this crowd, and they say, we can't. And I think in his mind, he's saying, I know, but you need to learn who can. And so many times we experience a need in our community, in the lives of our coworkers, in the lives of our family and neighbors, and we say, I can't. And I think Jesus wants to say the same thing to us. I know, but I can. And I think it's one of the reasons why he tells them to go see what they have. They've done the math. They know it's going to take eight months of wages to buy enough food. And instead of just making it show up out of nothing, which Jesus could have done, he says, do an inventory. And I have to think that at least for some of those disciples, as I understand a little bit of their personalities and reading Scripture, some of them were even more discouraged after counting than they were before. We have five loaves at two small fish and so many people. I think when we experience needs in our community, in our families, in our neighbors, we have a tendency to do an inventory and we say the same thing to God. This is all I have and it's so little compared to the need. And that leads us to the final point of what we ought to do in this time of rest. You see, the retreat prepares us to spend time with God. And that time with God prepares us to encourage others, to serve others. But we become most effective when this time of rest leads us to a time to thank. We recognize where our help comes from. That's what happens with the disciples in Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 41. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks. And he broke the loaves. And then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. And the number of men who had eaten was 5,000. You see, this time of rest is a time to acknowledge God's provision that is so much greater than ours. And when we begin to acknowledge God's provision, when we begin to offer thanks to Him, even in the midst of what we believe to be our scarcity, we discover that He multiplies what we have in order to meet the need. There were times where I would show up on a property and the homeowner would finally realize that this is what they needed done and the job just looked too big. But I would thank God for bringing us together. And every time He would supply what was needed to get the work done. One of my favorite stories was actually from a year ago in hurricane relief. And I was not comfortable going out into Louisiana because I've heard stories of the alligators and the snakes. And I don't care for either of those. And yet God had brought me to that point. He had brought me there to serve. The difficulty with hurricanes is it typically comes with a lot of rain, which creates standing water everywhere, which tends to attract the alligators and snakes. And I kept saying in my mind, find me some dry places, some high ground, this or that. And the guy says, no, this is where you're supposed to be. And when I committed to serving in my weakness, I tell people it's the funniest thing that God brought a volunteer team from Pennsylvania all the way to Louisiana with a member of that team that, for enjoyment, hunts snakes. I told her I don't, and it was a woman to top it off, I guess, but I told her I don't see why anybody would find enjoyment in that at all. But she did. And I says, great, you scout out the property, and once you say it's clear, I'll go in and cut trees. And she said she was fine with that. That made her day to be useful in that way. But so many times, you know, I was going in thinking I had to do it all and some of it was going to be hard and difficult. And God says, no, you're not in this alone. This isn't just about you. As a matter of fact, it's not much about you at all. It's about Him. And when we consider what it took to feed 5,000 people, and I always love the idea that there's 12 basketfuls left over. You know, each of those disciples get their very own basket of leftovers. And I don't know what they did with them. It really doesn't say whether each of them was responsible to do something with it. But to me, it was just remarkable as that numbers guy of 12 disciples, 12 baskets. As that visual reminder that with God, you have enough. And it all began with a time to rest. It's easy for me to set aside times for rest because I enjoy vacations, I enjoy relaxing, I enjoy stepping away from the busyness of life. I think the more difficult time thing is to make use of those times of rest for more than just physical nourishment, but to see them as opportunities to encourage others, to see them as opportunities to serve others, to see them as opportunities to give thanks and make God known. One of the reasons that I've always enjoyed partnering and volunteering with IDES is their philosophy of doing ministry with local churches. Any of the relief work they do, they look for a local church, or if it's internationally, a mission organization, somebody that's going to be there after I go home. Somebody that's going to be there after all of their staff and volunteers go home. And so when we would go, when I would go to homes and introduce myself, it wasn't, I'm Tom from Impact Prayer Ministry. It wasn't, I'm Tom with International Disaster Emergency Service. It was, I'm Tom representing the Bowling Green Christian Church. And so 6 months from now, when they're struggling with something different, maybe it's a relationship issue, maybe it's a grief within their family, maybe it's some loss, those seeds were planted that there's a church in town that cared about me. And we give thanks in ways, and we serve in ways, and we encourage in ways that God gets the credit. And so when people experience the heartaches of life, they know who to turn to. They turn to those that represented God, but more importantly, they turn to God Himself. You see, this time of rest is something we all need. But this time of rest is really all about making Jesus known. When we're prepared, when we're refreshed, when we're relying on God to work through us, we position ourselves to represent Him wherever we are. I don't know why God moved in my life to convict me and challenge me and push me in all kinds of other terms to volunteer in disaster relief settings. But He has. But I also know that there are needs that each of us are surrounded with that don't require a 6-hour drive or a 15-hour drive or whatever it might be to get to. And I think some of the reasons that God has connected me up with in this way with the disaster relief is because it helps me to convey to others what it looks like to serve your community. And in a way, those volunteer assignments become my rest. They become my retreat. I know it sounds crazy that to go into a tornado-ravaged community and say, I'm here retreating. But God is working in my life because I've put myself in a position to, I have to rely on Him. And when we begin to do that in our community, in our families, in our neighborhoods, I was telling a group when I got back, this time of knocking on doors and asking people what they need, and in a way, it's a lot easier to do that when a tornado has ripped through your town. I don't think I've ever done that in South Bend, to just go through and ask people, are there things you need? But maybe I need to be more aware of what's going on around me. And maybe these times of rest that aren't really rest at all, but they're preparation, are to help all of us pay attention and do what God wants. Would you pray with me today? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. Your love is such that you've created us with a need to rest, and you've called us and even set the example for what that looks like. But Father, you've also given an instruction, an example for what the rest ought to lead us to. Not just to overcome our weariness, but to prepare us as we retreat into your presence, as we spend time focused on being renewed by your Spirit, that we would be prepared to encourage others, that we would share the good news of the gospel of Jesus. We'd be prepared to serve. We would serve in ways that seem, well, might even seem impossible, but in ways that you make happen. Father, in the midst of the rest, that we would give thanks. We would acknowledge you as the giver of all good things, as your word tells us. The one that sustains us, the one that prepares us, the one that enables us to serve and to encourage. So God, today I pray that you would help us to be aware more so than ever before of our neighbors, of our co-workers, of those individuals that we see perhaps at a store that's always there when we go to running the checkout lane, or just people that need to see you. Perhaps they need to see you in us. And so, Father, as we consider what this time of rest might look like, may we always view it as a time of preparation to represent Jesus. And may we never neglect the work that you've called us to do because of our selfishness. And when you present the opportunities, may we make the most of them. And as we lift up Jesus, may many be drawn to Him. It's in His name that I pray.